It's time to get underway with a special edition of Radio Friendships from our location in Galveston, Texas, where we're helping to meet the needs of people through the love of Jesus Christ.
Even when the rain falls, even when the blood starts rising, even when the storm comes, I am lost by the water.
Radio Friendships is brought to you by Don and Sandra Tipton of Friendships Unlimited, located in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And as the Lord says in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together.
Welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed standing in for Don and Sandra Tipton from Galveston, Texas. And yes, we are in Galveston, Texas, and that's partly because of, that's actually a lot because of Hurricane Ike. Now, the city has made some very good progress at getting the debris off the streets, but behind the walls where the flesh and blood of this city live, the families, the people that go to school, the people that go to churches, that is a mess. And yes, there's insurance companies that may cover some of that. That doesn't do anything immediately. So Friendships is going to be here for a while, and Friendships is supporting church teams that are coming here and getting in the mess and doing the work, really blessing the citizens of Galveston, restoring hope with the restorer of hope, Jesus Christ. And one of the groups that have come out here is from Orange County. Actually, we have two people in the studio today. They're going to give some insights of what they've seen out there. The first one is Lexi Jacobson.
Yes.
Now, Lexi, where are you from originally?
I'm from Orange County, California, born and raised.
And you've been going to a school there, right?
Yes.
And is that who you came out with as a school group?
Yeah, we came with our high school. We have mission trips that run through our high school, and we came as a group.
Okay, what's the name of the high school?
Lutheran High School of Orange County.
And is that based around one central church, or is it a group of several different Lutheran churches?
Well, as a school, every family attends their individual churches, but we're always based around the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Okay. Enjoy the school?
I love it.
Okay. I don't imagine there's a whole lot being taught about evolution there. We've been doing a series on lies in the textbooks in the public schools.
Definitely not.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, you are here in Galveston.
Yes.
From California. What does somebody from Orange County, California know about hurricanes?
Not much. The only thing I really know about hurricanes is from going to Louisiana and helping out with Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, wow.
Though, I don't really know what happens in a hurricane. I know it's like a big storm, but I can't possibly imagine. We don't have anything like that in California.
But why? I guess what I'm trying to get at is why would somebody in California that's never been through a hurricane have compassion for those that do? And enough compassion to say, I'm leaving California to come out here and help.
I guess partly just because I don't know what they're going through and I can't relate. And by coming out here and helping them, it gives me room to relate to them and to show that even though I don't really know, I feel like I'm helping them and impacting their lives.
That's a good reason. Good reason. So you see needs of people.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily have to even know the people mm-hmm. to know that they're hurting, and you wanted to come out and help in some way.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 17.
17. Wow. Has coming out and helping people in Katrina and what you've done today, how do you think this has shaped your future?
Well, I never really thought that I would be one to go on mission trips a lot. Freshman year of high school, I knew there was a program at my school that did it, but I just never really saw myself doing that. And I actually started out going to Mexico with our school, and that evolved into going to New Orleans. And that led to coming here to help with Hurricane Ike. And I don't know. It just gives me, I feel like I'm helping the world. Yeah. Gives me a purpose, I guess.
Let's clear this up, because somebody's listening and they're saying, well, you know what? This young lady's just trying to impress God with her works. Is that what you're doing?
No, not at all. I feel called to help people. I love serving, and it's kind of, people always say, giving is better than receiving. When I was little, I never thought that was true, of course, but helping, giving your time, it's so fulfilling and satisfying that I can't even put into words like how I feel.
Oh, exactly. And that's why we really try to encourage people to step out in faith. And they don't necessarily have to join friendships to do that. I mean, it starts in your community. Say you have a neighbor that you've never knocked on their door, you've never done anything nice to. Sometimes it starts with just that one random act of kindness, reaching out to somebody that shows them, demonstrates Christ's love and care for them. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Well, listen, there is one individual that you've made a tremendous impact on that we interviewed here yesterday, and that's Mr. Frank Nicholas. You remember Mr. Frank?
Of course.
Why don't you tell us what happened over there?
Well, his house was damaged, and we went over there, and we were gutting his house. You know, we were just working as a team, and everyone here, we love singing, and so throughout working, we were just singing worship songs while we were working, and that just, it really motivates us and helps us just to keep working. I mean, it's amazing how just singing will put you in such a great mood. And seeing him and his wife come through the house and the joy on their faces, it's just overwhelming, and it's just so fulfilling. And I was just so blessed to even work on his house. I mean, I feel so thankful just that I could serve him. And I don't know like how I personally impacted him, but I know that we work together as a team, and through that, miracles can happen.
Amen. I can tell you that you made an impact on him. They had lost hope. They're an older couple, and everything that they own was there. They've been here in this community 50 years.
Wow.
And his wife has been sick for some time. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And he said when he brought her in there, she was like a little kid in a toy store. It was like Christmas had arrived, just to see her house cleaned up, ready to go again. And it made him feel so proud to be her husband again. Like, look what the Lord has done for us. Wow. The hard part is now, though, you have to leave. You have some responsibilities to do at home. What are you guys doing when you get home?
Well, it's hard because we get home and we get back into our everyday lives. You know, we all have routines that we go through every day. And just being back at school, we just need to remember to fellowship with each other and just to continue sharing what we did, and possibly just sharing will bring others to realize that, you know, we can make a difference and that there is hope.
Well, let me ask you this, too, because there's a lot of young girls out there that feel like, well, you know what? How can I impact this planet? How can I make a difference in this world? How can a young woman stand for God in a way that makes differences in people's lives? How can they do that best today?
It's hard because just society today is so just degrading on women sometimes. And I just think it starts personally. I mean, each woman and every girl just needs to have respect for themselves first and foremost. And just loving the Lord, it's just so easy to, as long as you just are rooted in Him, just your love for others just shows through. And people can clearly see, they know when someone is a Christian, and they know that they're different. And just smiling, just being friendly, loving others, that has such a great impact and can lead them to do the same thing. And
yeah.
It's like a ripple effect.
Yeah, amen. Well, there's a young lady probably listening today that has been teetering on that edge of faith. She has been through a lot. Maybe she's had some attacks on her beauty and maybe her physical being. You know, the attacks have come. And she feels a little alone, desperately looking for answers, reasons to make sense of what her future is going to be. What would you say to a young lady like that that is just too scared to take that first step of faith?
As an artist, I love drawing and painting, and I know that each work that I do, it may not be perfect, but, you know, maybe I have some paint splatters on there that look like they're not supposed to be there, that seem like they are an accident, but, you know, that's the way I wanted it, and I feel like that gave me a totally different understanding of how God made us, that maybe being perfect isn't what He wanted us to be, that we can grow through our flaws and just... It's hard stepping out there, but once you do, it's so fulfilling, and God will give you the strength to do it.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah.
I think that's a relief to a lot of, not only young women, a lot of men, but especially the young women. I think there's that spirit of perfectionism that is running rampant in our young women. And then a lot of that's due to the media, the lies that are put out there. They need to own up to a certain image. How do you confront those battles?
It's hard because it's battles that every girl faces. And it's hard because it's all around us. We're immersed in it. But we just need to not think about that. It's kind of, we just need to put the noise and the distraction of the world behind us and just focus, fix our eyes on Jesus.
And how old are you again?
17.
Some good wisdom for a 17-year-old man we could all learn from. Before you go, I want to know, do you have a favorite scripture, something that you've really held on to over the years?
I mean, there are so many. It's really hard.
That's true, but I'm asking you for one.
Well,
is there one that applies to something that you've seen here?
Yeah, one of my favorite verses I've always had is Romans 8:38-39. And I don't know it by heart, but it's, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ our Lord."
Amen. That's one of those stand up and shout verses, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for joining us today, Lexi, and thank you for being here. And I'm going to thank you on behalf of the people that you have touched in Galveston. Now, you may have just reached a few people in the time that you've been here, but believe me, there is an effect, a shockwave that goes through. You affect one person here, they turn around, they want to help somebody else, and then they want to help somebody else, and you have impacted this community for the good. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you. It was our pleasure.
Well, we're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, we're going to speak with Jeannie Mooney, and that happens to be Lexi's teacher. So we'll be right back.
We are traveling to another dimension, a dimension not of sight and sound, but of heart. Unlock the door to this dimension with the key of faith. Beyond it is another life, as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. A wondrous land full of life and love.
We live in a three-dimensional world, but the love of Jesus is four-dimensional. The Apostle Paul prayed that we would be rooted and established in love so that we may have power to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Escape this three-dimensional life and transcend to a new plane. Seek the kingdom of God and follow His call. Next stop, the kingdom of heaven.
Are you ready to unlock that door?
Okay, we're back on Radio Friendships, and we were just speaking with Lexi Jacobson, and she is from Orange County, California, part of a Lutheran school that has come to Galveston in order to help. Matter of fact, they signed up as a team of, I don't know, I think it was about 20 people. Is that about right? But now, as promised before the break, we have Jeannie Mooney. And Jeannie Mooney is a high school teacher at the Lutheran school. Why don't you tell us the name of that school again?
It's Lutheran High School of Orange County, and it's in Orange, California.
Okay. High school teacher, is that right?
Right. Well, on our trip this time, we have four teachers and then a relative of one of the teachers. But
okay.
Yeah.
Now, what's the approximate size of your school?
We have, I think the latest count is around 1,150 students.
Wow.
So it's the largest Lutheran high school in the country.
That is pretty cool.
It is. It's very cool.
With that amount of students, how do you manage to keep it centered around Christ?
Our school is based in the theology of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So that's kind of our grounding, and all students have theology every year. So that is another way to keep them grounded. They have that every other day. And then we have chapel every day right before lunchtime. And teachers are encouraged to pray with their classes, to open class in prayer, to share devotions, share experiences, and students likewise at the beginning of each class. So it's very encouraging of developing faith in these young people and vice versa in the teachers. We learn from our students.
It's got to be very rewarding to see young people come up just loving the Lord, like Lexi.
It's extremely rewarding. I have two children who've gone through Lutheran High School, and all of the kids that I see and all the kids at the school, because I think it's such a crucial time in their life that they start to develop who they are in their faith in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean in their life? How do they find their purpose? Because they're becoming adults and their parents aren't going to always be there. And it's not going to be real if it was their parents' faith. You know, what is this faith to them? And I see that happening at the school. It's very exciting to me to see this new generation coming up and feeling the presence of God in their lives and driving them.
Amen. And, you know, it's very critical that some people may be listening and saying, well, you know what? It's just high school. Well, let me tell you, statistics show that a lot of kids of faith, as they leave the protection of their family environment and head off to college for the first time, quite frankly, they're not going to hear a lot of God-friendly instruction. It's critical to have that foundation there.
I totally find that true in reflecting on my college experience. And I went to a Christian college, and it was a great experience, but you have many people there for different reasons. Yeah, and I think the good part is it really tests our faith. Mm-hmm. And I think we should have those tests to our faith, but we need to have the strength to stand up to them behind us and know where to go when those tests come.
Amen. Well, listen, you were saying something a little earlier that made me think of a spiritual lesson that you probably are very familiar with by teaching. You realize that good teachers, effective teachers, there's a participation on both parts, the student and the teacher. And our relationship with God a lot of times is like that. What have you learned from this kind of participation?
Well, I think that there are, you know, different sorts of personalities in kids. And it's really interesting to watch, and it's been very surprising. Whereas someone comes as a freshman, and by the time they leave as a senior, they can be a totally different person. Mm. And I mean that in a good way, that they have grown in their faith and their knowledge and their academics and their sports abilities and their confidence, the way they walk. And I've also seen sometimes where, you know, as a teacher, there are those students that you don't know how their life goes on from there. You know, you're left unsure. But I think over the years, I've been teaching at Lutheran High for 6 years, I've gained confidence in realizing that God plants seeds through us. And we don't get to know always when those seeds are planted. And it's very humbling. So I feel privileged in that and hopeful that those seeds come to grow and sprout. And it may take longer, and these students may go through hard times, maybe not, you know, but someone else gets to water and help prune, and, you know, and that's okay. That's God's plan.
You really love this, don't you?
I do. Teaching, yeah, I love it. It's the best job I've ever had.
Well, now let's move this into Galveston. Well, who decided to bring the group to Galveston?
Mr. Maeda and the missions team. Actually, I don't know for sure, okay. But I have a feeling it was a decision together. The students are very motivated that have formed this club, and Mr. Maeda is very good at drawing them out and helping them to take leadership roles.
Okay.
And make choices. And so typically what happens at our school is when students see a need, they feel very comfortable going to their teachers and saying, we need to do something about this.
Now, you mentioned something about a group. Is this like a little club within the school body?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. We have different clubs that we encourage the students to participate in because, of course, that makes their life fuller. It exposes some gifts and talents that they might not have realized. And it's not like you have to do this or you have to do that. They get to choose. This group particularly is very large. I would say one of our largest clubs operates greatly to do service, not necessarily locally near us, but we do some service locally. We have 2 service days a year as a school where we send kids out into the community, kids and teachers, I should say. But then also respond to different states and countries. The club has gone to Malawi this summer coming up in 2009. They're looking to go out into the world again. Last summer, they went to Montana to an Indian reservation. And Mr. May likes to go for an extended period of time for the summer trips.
You encourage this faith in action.
It's become a very important component of the school, we feel, in teaching students and lifting them up and honoring their desire to serve others and understanding that that's really the core of our education and our life, that we are called to serve.
Amen. Do you usually get an opportunity to go on the trips as well?
No. I mean, I've wanted to. It's not like someone has said I can't go. It's difficult for students.
Yeah.
And so it's difficult for teachers because you have to plan a whole week of having a substitute. And probably most teachers that are listening, you know, that's kind of stressful because you don't know who's going to sub for you. And you don't want the kids left behind to not get anything done because that's not fair to them. It just worked out that I thought, you know, it'll never be the perfect time. And I need to go.
Amen.
So,
well, what's the experience been like so far?
It's been fabulous. I could not have guessed from watching the news and seeing the devastation and relating that, you know, as we all have gone through devastation in our lives in some way, you know, your heart goes out to these people here. But like you were saying in your prologue, when we first drove around on Sunday, when we got here, it wasn't that obvious. I mean, you saw the trash on the streets, but as you're here longer, you see there's probably a house missing that was there, a whole complete house. And then you start to see the foundations where the house was, so you know there was a house there. And then you see tilted houses. And then you go inside and you see the utter devastation of people's lives. And it's quite touching and overwhelming. And also a very interesting part for me is that when you go into their houses and you spend time taking them, we've done a lot of deconstruction to get the mold out, you begin to feel the presence of the people in that house. And you want to give them their house back. You want to give them their life back because you know it has just ripped at their heart.
Well, that's one thing that the newscasts and pictures can never translate is the realness of what has. And that's the advantage of being here and making a difference to these people. One of the houses, and we mentioned it with Lexi, was Mr. Nicholas's. I don't know if you guys knew this, but he decided to ride the storm out. We got a firsthand report from him, and he's been here 50 years. He's seen some storms before. This scared him. He didn't think he was going to make it. As the waters came up, it's not like regular flood waters like you see in the Midwest. This is ocean that has come over the seawall. It has a current. It has waves. It really does a number, not only on the houses, but you can't just walk over to the next door neighbor's house. You'll be swept out to sea. This was very serious. We need to keep the attention on rebuilding, not so much the buildings. That's important, but the people. The people that God has placed incredible value on. They're our brothers and sisters. So many of the people, and Nicholas's, are also believers. I believe that you were an answer to their prayers. How does it feel to be on that end of an answered prayer?
I feel very grateful to be able to respond and to get to glimpse, because I can't say, you know, in that period of time I know them. I talked to Mr. Nichols for a little while. You know, he's a very proud man, but very warm man. Yeah. And he was telling me, I think he said, their house filled up in 3 hours. Yeah. So, you know, trying to imagine that, I'm thinking, you're probably standing there thinking, oh, well, I'll be able to get out of here.
Yeah.
And then he said that his neighbor called and didn't get a response. And that's how they were saved, because they knew something was wrong. And I think as a man, you know, I think we're all equal participants on this earth. But I think as a man who our culture trains men up to be strong and to be the savior type of figure in the family, that had to be really hard because he put himself and his wife in a difficult situation. And yet they needed help.
I know. I've sat there and watched the news before and said, why don't these people just leave? Well, do you think, you know what? I can see the water coming. All right, we'll just get up and leave if it gets bad. Well, by the time you decide to get up and leave, the roads are flooded, bridges are out, and you cannot go anywhere. And usually near the coast or in Louisiana, there's not a whole lot of high ground to choose from anyways. So let's not write people off as being stupid, okay? This is a tragedy, and it could happen to your mother and father. These are very real people. And we thank you guys so much for being out here. And I just want to say this before we go, because do not for a minute think that you are exempt from being able to help. We're talking about a group About 20, 21 young women manicured with the fingernails and the hair done and wearing the nice clothes that didn't scare them for a minute. They're out there getting in the sludge, getting in the mess, and making a difference in people's lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much.
Well, join us again here next time on Radio Friendships. Have a great day and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433-5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.